Hi, I'm J. Christian Adams. This is the Protecting Your Vote podcast at the Public Interest Legal Foundation. For more information, you can go to publicinterestlegal.org. If you've been paying attention to political news around the country, the word redistricting is on everybody's ears and mind. And that's not an accident. Texas has considered redrawing its lines despite the fact it's in the middle of a decade. Well, there's a story behind that, and there's a person behind that, and in fact, it's not that unusual to draw new lines for a legislature in the middle of a decade, especially after a monumental court decision like the sort that happened out of Galveston County. With us today is Judge Mark Henry. Judge, they call you Judge. A lot of people in the country don't understand what that means. How are you doing today?
I'm great, Mr. Adams. How are you?
I'm doing good. So just for a starter, tell everybody what judge means if they're not from Texas.
Certainly. Texas has a very different way of structuring a county. We have 254 counties, and they're all exactly the same. They have four county precinct commissioners, which is pretty common, and then one chief elected official, which is titled county judge. So while I do have judicial authority, I also have legislative and executive authority. It's the only job I've ever heard of that's got a little bit of all three branches of government.
Yeah, and in most places around the country, you might be called the at-large commissioner, but in Texas, it's judge. So there's four districts and one at-large commissioner, but in Texas, you're the judge, right?
That's correct.
So everyone's talking about redistricting in the country, and every time I see a national news story, I think to myself, there's somebody to blame for this, right? Like one person, believe it or not, got this started. And I would submit that that person is you because you're the judge in Galveston County. And Galveston is where the incredibly profound and important case came from that went to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. Actually, it bounced to the Supreme Court once or twice. But in the meantime, it went to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. And an enormous decision came down. So maybe if you could start at the beginning and tell the story a little bit as to how you got this snowball rolling.
Certainly. We in Galveston County, we had to redistrict our county commissioners because of changes in population after the decennial census, after 2020 census and the results came out. We were told that if we didn't create a coalition district, which is pure legal fiction, to maintain the one Democrat on commissioner's court, that the Biden DOJ would sue us. And I kind of said, then go ahead and sue us because I'm not going to do that. I don't think it's constitutional. I don't think it's allowed. And I had great legal input from guys like yourself, Mr. Adams, and Joe Nixon, and a lot of others who told me, if you'll just stand firm here, we have a chance to change the legal history on redistricting. And that was fine. That's what I wanted to do. So I was very appreciative to have the legal backup and the legal firepower, honestly. So we did what we said we're going to do. We said, no, I'm not drawing a coalition district. It's legal fiction. I'm not going to do it. So the Biden Department of Justice, along with the NAACP and a couple of other three-letter do-gooders, sued us and expected to run the table with us. But that's not what happened.
Yeah, it's interesting you mention a number of things. Let me define something for everybody listening, first of all. And that's a coalition district. And a lot of people in the real world gratefully don't know what that is. It is a legislative district where you combine two races, two different races. In the case of Galveston, it was Hispanic and Black, to create a racially based district under the Voting Rights Act. And one of the things the Public Interest Legal Foundation exists for is to decouple, to separate the allocation of power from questions of race. We just don't think that's how we ought to be giving out power in this country, is based on your skin color. And when we learned that this was happening down there, obviously we took great interest. So the Justice Department gets involved, LULAC, there's some five-letter organizations in there too. They decide to sue Galveston. We had a trial, and the existing precedent in the Fifth Circuit, the ruling law, was against us at the time, wasn't it? And so we lost it at trial, but that's because they were following the law as it stood. So maybe you could tell what happens next.
Sure, and you're absolutely correct. So Justice Jeff Brown knew that the Fifth Circuit had ruled on this, albeit 30 something years ago. So we felt like his hands were tied, and I'm sure that's how he felt as well. So after the trial, he ruled in favor of the plaintiffs because he felt he had no choice. And we, with your encouragement and advice, took it to the Fifth Circuit. We had a 3-judge panel, which is, you know, the standard practice whenever you go initially to an appellate court. The appellate court gave us a ruling which was just great, and that was we have to affirm the previous ruling of the Fifth Circuit because that was the full court, the en banc, all justices. And then they said, but we were wrong. Please ask for en banc hearing so that we can reverse our previous en banc opinion.
Yeah, it was amazing. And of course, you did exactly as the court suggested and petitioned to have a full hearing among all 16, or I guess it was 17 or 18 judges on the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans. And we had that full hearing. And how'd that one come out?
That was great. And Justice Edith Jones has really been a champion of this issue for as long as she's been there, to the best of my knowledge. And they came out and reversed themselves. Very, very uncommon for the full court to reverse a full court opinion. But that's exactly what they did. And Justice Jones had some not so pleasant words for the plaintiffs, basically telling him, I know what you're trying to do, and it ends now.
Yeah. Well, guess what? It didn't end yet, because now the entire state of Texas took that favorable ruling, which was, by the way, was called Petaway versus Galveston County. We just filed a brief recently where we had a line in the brief that said, Petaway changed everything. And it did in Texas. And it basically decoupled race from the drawing of lines. And I guess some folks in Austin, or maybe in Washington, depending on who you listen to, saw the ruling that you initiated and said, let's take a look at Texas.
Absolutely. So the Trump Department of Justice sent a letter, which I have seen and read, to the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, and it said, coalition districts are no longer permissible. We're not asking you to redistrict. We're telling you that as a matter of constitutional law, we feel you must redistrict. And so that is what started the chaos that's been going on for closing in on 30 days now.
I don't know if you've been paying attention. I sat and watched on C-SPAN one night. I ruined my night. I should have watched a movie instead. And I watched the proceedings in Austin, and holy moly, they must have found like every single leftist in the state of Texas, of which there might be 100, maybe 200, and put them up there with some of the craziest, most incendiary, nasty commentary. I didn't know you had this kind of groundswell of 200 hardcore leftist progressives in Texas. I don't know if you saw any of this.
I didn't, but I have been following a little bit of it. And yes, they are coming up with some crazy notions. One is that Trump forced the governor to do this. That's completely the opposite of what happened. President Biden is the one who started this, and I'm just the one who stood up and said, no, it's not going to happen. I'm not going to create a coalition district for you. So please, if you want to lay blame, blame Joe Biden. That's where the blame lies.
You know, one of the things that I tell law students and others about that case in Galveston, about the trial at the federal courthouse, it's a good example of how much muscle the left has, how much money the left has to bother places like Galveston. And in that trial, Judge Henry, I'll never forget, there were, I think, six of us at counsel table, me, Joe Nixon, Maureen Reardon, Joe Russo, and Angie. On the other side, there weren't enough seats for everybody. It was unbelievable. They had like 20 or 30 lawyers.
Correct. I counted about 30. They had the jury box. We had no jury. It was a bench trial, but the jury box was full of lawyers. And I'll tell you, before the trial started, there was an elderly, and I say that being I'm getting old myself, a white DOJ lawyer who was warning his colleagues, said, if we lose this, we lose all kinds of congressional seats. This is not a good idea. I heard him say that myself. And his young whippersnapper attorneys just ignored him.
Yeah.
Said, forget you. We got this thing rigged. We're not worried. We're going forward.
I saw some other crazy stuff. People just need to understand the, you know, when they think about DOJ, I think about the people at DOJ. I'll never forget in that trial, some of the DOJ lawyers who are like right out of Harvard or Yale and all these elite law schools, they were asking questions off of a script, And normally an experienced lawyer listens for the answers, right? To hear what, and it was just one, they didn't listen for the answers. They just kept blasting through their script. Now, that's not to say that they weren't competent. It's like the Russian army. You know, you send millions of people into the fight, eventually you have some progress. But it was amazing to watch sort of these angry, they were all angry, not all of them, but many of them were like seething with hostility toward, frankly, you and others in Galveston. And watching this cultural disconnect to me was something I think I'll never forget.
Yeah, and what you're saying is exactly correct. It was more so with the Department of Justice lawyers, but my answer didn't matter. They were read a question. I would give them an answer that I thought was reasonable, coherent, rational, and they just moved on. They didn't care. They didn't follow up. They didn't care what I said. So I got the sense they were trying to build some kind of record, but it didn't seem to me like they're doing a very good job of it.
Well, look, let's fast forward to today, because now you have a situation where a case, and not just a case, but an idea that you initiated. It wasn't, you know, let's just win this case. It was like you had an idea that you wanted to change, frankly, the law, and you succeeded. Where does this go from here in Texas? What are people saying in Galveston about this big win? Tell us more about sort of the after effects.
Well, as you know, now Texas is redistricting, and I was very pleased to see just a few nights ago, Governor Abbott called me out by name and said, you know, thanks to Mark Henry, here's where we are. So I was very appreciative of the governor recognizing that I caused all this chaos. And by the way, I'd kind of like a little reward for getting 50 Democrats to leave the state, but I don't know if that's going to come or not. But so we're here now to redistrict and dissolve all coalition districts, which is kind of a big deal in Texas. And those seats will then be up for grabs. They may go Republican. We don't know. But getting rid of the coalition districts was really what I was after.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm constrained by attorney-client privilege. There's things I would like to say that you have said, but I'll put it this way. Without your leadership in this area, without your steadfast resolve to drive this issue to a resolution to change the law, this would not have happened. The redistricting in Texas would not have happened. It was 100% your initiative and your courage, frankly, in going forward. And as you remember, there are some tight deadlines. This didn't show up in the case until, you know, not at the beginning, let's put it that way. And so your resolve to do this is what really made the difference in getting the law changed in the entire state of Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and who knows where else going forward.
Yes, it was a heavy lift, but fortunately for me, it was limited to a county commissioner's precinct, and that's something I laugh about. You guys went to the mat for a county commissioner precinct in Galveston County, Texas, and you lost, and now you're going to lose 6 to 10 seats in the House of Representatives. Good job, Biden DOJ.
It reminds me of a line from A Man for All Seasons where Thomas More says, for Wales? Really? Like, you gave it all up for Wales? In fact, I told one of the DOJ lawyers who I was acquaintances with that I used to work at the Justice Department with, I said, you guys are going to lose coalition claims over Galveston? And they didn't care because, frankly, they didn't think they were going to lose, I think.
Oh, absolutely. They felt the deck was stacked in their favor. There was no chance of a loss, and that's why they ignored the guy who had been at DOJ for, you know, decades, I'm sure, when he was telling them, this is a bad idea, we shouldn't do this, and they just ignored him.
We're on with Judge Mark Henry in Galveston County, the real fire starter who got the prairie fire going in Texas for redistricting when he led the charge to defeat coalition claims under the Voting Rights Act. In a case called Pettaway versus Galveston that I think many people are now paying closer attention to. Judge Henry, thank you for joining us on Protecting Your Vote. It's been a real treat. You deserve some kind of special award, I think, in my view, from the conservative movement, because you've done a great service to make the Voting Rights Act mean what it's really supposed to mean, and that means stop using race. So thank you for joining us today.
It's been an honor to be part of this fight, and I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Mark. So you've been watching Protecting Your Vote. I'm Jay Christian Adams. For more information, tune into publicinterestlegal.org and you'll find everything you can about Pettaway versus Galveston. Till next time.